This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome to episode 9 of Equal Agenda. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martine.
And I'm Jamita.
And today we are joined with some special guests. They are the Season 1 Equal Agenda Girls.
Hi everyone, it's Isabel.
And this is Molly.
And we're super excited to be back on the podcast and, yeah, just excited to dive into womanhood.
So today we're going to be talking about how our ideas of womanhood have changed and what we're passionate about when it comes to womanhood and gender inequality, where in life it most affects us, and then finishing up with some advice to our younger self. We wanted to start with one word that we associate with womanhood.
For me, my word is powerful.
My word is identity.
My word is belonging.
My word is change.
And my word is nurturing. I kind of wrote down that I chose the word nurturing because I love the idea that womanhood means something like wider than just having like that strength. Like I know strength in women is so important, but I feel like these days it's overemphasized in the fact that we are told that we can't have any weaknesses. And I think these days it's really like drilled into women that, you know, you need to show strength on all fronts. Whereas I love the idea that we can still be nurturing, and it doesn't have to necessarily be romantically or like maternally, even just nurturing like those female friendships or like nurturing your passions. That's where I really find power in the word like nurture. So that's why I chose it.
That's beautiful. So beautiful. There's so much power in bringing back the idea that like women can still be nurturing and not be any less strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly like I didn't want it to be categorized just into like, oh, women take care of others, because that is the truth, but it's not our whole truth. Like it's definitely part of like a wider definition of what women are. And so that's why I loved the idea that it kind of like fit us, but it doesn't have to define us.
Yeah. Mm. Gorgeous. Yeah. Love that.
Gorgeous. For me, my word being identity, it feels a bit vague, doesn't it? But being a woman is like so much of our identity, whether we like it or not. So many of our experiences come down to the fact that we are women and we are seen and treated as a certain way because of it. But it can also be a beautiful thing, because I personally feel so empowered by the fact that I'm a woman and that, you know, I can find other women and we can all just kind of find solace in that and sharing our, you know, our experiences that come with that identity.
I totally agree, because I feel like often you can connect for the sole purpose of just both being woman. Like I take our experience of getting this internship and we just clicked immediately and bonded so quickly because we were talking about our experiences as a woman and diving straight into what womanhood is like for us.
Yeah, I mean, I really love what you guys have to say. Like, I totally relate to everything that you've said about, like, that connection that you just form instantly when you kind of, like, meet with another woman and you just feel that, like, instant connection to them, which is interesting that that happens just solely based on, like, your biological gender. But it really is, like, for me, it's been so, like, proven. Like, I have so many female friendships that mean the absolute world to me. And so, like, for me, it really is all about that relatability, being able to, like, connect with your own gender over those, like, similar experiences and the pressure from wider society. And then I think, like, it's really interesting, like, when you mention about how we want to talk about how, like, womanhood changes or shifts from, like, girlhood into womanhood. And I think, for me, the key difference there is, like, in girlhood, you definitely are, like, relating over those, like, key experiences, you know, like, being able to, like, play together, you love the same things. But then, for me, the real transition into womanhood is, like, finding those deeper emotional connections, because I feel like with my female friends, I'm able to relate to them on, like, so many levels, and that means the world to me, like being able to have these really like deep philosophical discussions that I can't seem to have with those of like another gender. And yeah, like that is the key transition for me from like girlhood to womanhood, is just finding that deeper emotional connection.
I totally agree. I found the older I have gotten, the less surface level friendships I hold on to. I used to definitely have a lot of friends that, you know, were just for partying or were for festivals or for like sport and stuff. But now those friendships have kind of been outgrown. And yeah, now I just hold on to some like three dear friends. They feel like you need that a lot more as you mature.
I feel like I've kind of taken a step sideways to you guys. Like, I didn't think womanhood was a thing until you're like grown adult, but womanhood is something that's always been with me. I've always had my like female connections. You still had the idea of girlhood and growing up and making friendships and losing friendships, but it's not until I've actually entered womanhood that I'm like, it never actually changed. Like, I've always had my girls. My girls have always been with me. They may have come and go in different shapes and forms, but I've always had a beautiful sense of womanhood throughout my life. And it's not until you turn 18 and all of a sudden that's when womanhood starts. No, womanhood has always been there. It's just looked different for me.
Oh, that's so cute. I think my little womanhood concept shift was a little bit different. I think for me, it's more like growing up, and especially after becoming more educated, like in my classes, I think that after learning about people's experiences, I went from like seeing womanhood as like a very like biological thing, you know, like as like a person who's born like a female. And now I've kind of learned to see it. Well, I learned it before going to uni, but kind of understanding more of the societal lens of womanhood, where it's like, it's not just cisgender females, but it's also like people who identify as women and have changed their gender identity through any point of their life and continue to. And it's like, at the end of the day, these people will also experience like womanhood. And that's why I'm so firm on the identity, because no matter what parts we have, it's like that experience of womanhood that connects all of us.
Touching on my idea of how womanhood has changed, I think for me, as I get older, it's more about stepping into your power and kind of letting go of all the socialization that we've had as teenagers and letting go of perfectionism and the beauty standard, the male gaze, and yeah, just really kind of coming into your most authentic or truest self and being confident in that version and, yeah, just putting yourself out there more.
Yeah, I think it's so important to kind of, like, especially your point about putting yourself out there, like, it's so important to do in a society that's constantly kind of almost trying to silence us. Like, it's just, there's so much power in not conforming to a certain idea of how you have to be and just, like, actually being comfortable in your own skin. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Womanhood is obviously about all women, not just you and your small group of friends. So I feel like it's also being supportive and uplifting to all women as well. And that is going to help us work towards bridging the gap with gender inequality. I think for me, it's most important for women to be seen as capable and competent. I think that's what bothers me the most, which gets me most frustrated. And then also another thing for me is having full rights to our bodies, seeing that being stripped away in places like America and third world countries really upsets me.
I'm exactly the same in terms of like women having to fight for their body anatomy. I think it's so important that us women should have the rights to take control over our own bodies, decide what is going to be the best for us and for our future, really just fight for something that should have already been ours in the first place. It shouldn't have been in anyone else's hands. It should have been in our hands.
Yeah, I think for me, what I'm most passionate about in gender equality is kind of dismantling the patriarchy, misogyny and power structures, and kind of how the influence of colonization has also impacted those. And I think if I were to take all three themes and put them into one example, it would be that we see companies and corporations who profit off women's insecurities and, you know, like the industries like the beauty industry and hair removal products and anti-aging products. Anti-aging products drive me up the wall. and, yeah, I think just how these massive corporations continue to push such harmful messaging onto not only women but also young girls, and then, you know, just sending the idea that women's natural bodies aren't good enough inherently.
So the way that I interpreted this topic was a little bit different. Like when you mentioned like gender equality passions, I was kind of thinking like a little bit broader in terms of like the fight of gender equity or gender equality and what we want that to look like. And something that I learned throughout our experience like hosting the podcast was the real importance of like inclusive audiences and inclusive support, because like we place this emphasis on like the strength of women, but the truth is that women won't be able to achieve gender equality on their own. Like as much as we want to believe that, I think like a real truth that came out of all of the episodes that we recorded and the experiences that we had with the guests, it's like just the truth that we need everyone's support to be able to achieve this. And so when I think about a passion of mine when it comes to gender equality, is the passion is just getting everyone on board. And I know that's going to be impossible, because I know it's like really impossible to unite everyone over one topic, especially a topic as controversial as this. But yeah, I think like education, action, all of those things, and not just targeting it towards women and telling women it's your responsibility to fight for your rights. Like, it's not. It needs to be everyone's responsibility to come together and fight for like an oppressed group or like a minority.
I think that's really interesting, and you raise such a good point about how we have been socially taught to prove why we should be seen as equal, but it actually should flip to the other side of people need to undo these ideas around not seeing us as equal. Mm-hmm. It's actually not our problem to prove to people to do 101%. It's actually these ideas need to be unlearned on an individual level, on a social level, and on an institutional level.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, exactly. Because like, we're not the ones who created the problem in the first place. Like tracking back in history, we see that like, it's always been this way. Like women have always been the ones who have been oppressed and silenced. And so, yes, like it's horrible that we are now the ones who have to put in the hard work when really they should be the ones apologizing to us.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw this quote the other day and it said, the world should be lucky that women want equality and not revenge. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I definitely agree that everyone should be fighting for equality, literally. Like, I mean, that seems obvious, doesn't it? But at the end of the day, like, people think that it doesn't affect them, but it does affect everyone. Like, the continued expectations on women and, like, this kind of idea of us as less, it affects everyone.
Well, yeah, women are growing up feeling incompetent and angry that we're not seen as equal because we're being forced to look a certain way and constantly not fulfilling these beauty standards.
I think that ties in wonderfully into my own passion, which I've grown really passionate about self-expression and like being able to be comfortable in your own skin without compromising it because of societal standards. So in a way, my passion about gender equality is I want women to be able to rid ourselves of the performance anxiety that we've kind of gotten, like, growing up. I just feel like we are so held up to a standard to be, like, a role model for our entire gender. And that's, like, daunting. It's scary. I feel like I've held myself back so many times, being afraid of being wrong and then, like, kind of perpetuating this idea that women are incompetent because I did an oopsie once, you know? And I think that holds us back from really showing ourselves at our fullest. And it really affects our mentality and like our personhood to feel like we're repressing ourselves all the time. And that's something that many minorities experience. But it's like, I think also speaking from like an intersectional identity, like being like a minority as a woman and also like being like a woman of color, I'm like, oh, I'm terrified. Now I feel like I'm representing every woman of color ever in like a room, you know, it's scary.
Mm. Well, and what you spoke about, Jamina, was intersectionality. So you not only deal with the experiences of being a person of color and the experiences of being a woman, and there's also another level of what those two things put you at a disadvantage.
I think just building on the point of intersectionality, it's important to talk about how there are different versions of feminism, different versions of womanhood, and that, you know, many girls and women are taught one Western narrative of feminism. And it's important to acknowledge that there are so many other stories and histories out there where women haven't been able to share their story because they weren't the majority or they weren't the winner in the narrative.
So that was my experience. We want to talk specifically about the parts of our life where gender inequality affects us most.
Yeah, so for me, a lot of my hobbies and what I'm studying right now and what will be my future career is very stereotypically male-dominated areas. I find that I'm constantly, as we've talked about before, trying to be this pedestal to prove that women are competent and we can be just as good as a man at everything in life. So yeah, it was taking on a toll. And then I feel like this year for me, my strat management papers have turned towards more finance and my psychology papers have turned towards more coding and data. A lot of the time I get quite flustered because not only do I not feel confident in something, but I also feel like I'm put on a pedestal representing woman, not stereotypically understanding something. So there's this like double stress point, this double pressure point for me to just overachieve. So yeah, a lot of the times I'm reminding myself to not put so much pressure on myself and just, you know, do the best I can. But I did have a really good experience the other week that I'm going to think about every day to the day I die. Was we were studying, me and a group of boys in my management class, we were studying for this test and they were all studying at the library and I was at home and they called me up and they said, do you want to come like study with us? Like we need like a hand understanding some things, like we can work it out together. And I was like, cool, great, thought nothing of it. Went there and they were like, oh my gosh, thank God you were here. We knew you'd understand and help us. And that was like a win for me, but a win for women. I just felt like, if yeah, like here I am being smarter, I'm putting this in quotation marks, than boys in finance. And I just, that was such like an uplifting feeling and it felt like a win that day.
Well, I just think it's so beautiful for the fact that they just acknowledged you for just being a smart human.
Yeah.
Regardless of your gender, they were just like, let's get Hazel because Hazel can help us.
Because realistically, it's not a win for women. I was just seen as equal that day. So that's kind of sad when you put it like that. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's cool that there are men out there who can openly tell you and admit that there is a strength in a woman. Like, because I feel like there's a lot of men in this world who will not admit that.
Yeah, but men being allies.
Yeah, yes. Men being allies. And I think it's so easy to, like, generalize the average man.
Yeah, like, when you said about, like, generalizing men, I kind of had, like, an interesting thought when I was thinking about how, like, it affects me personally the most. And I feel sometimes, like, when I'm in, like, a male-dominated, like, space, even if I don't know anything about these men, I still feel, like, insecure or just, like, unsure around them, even just, like, as an initial instinct,
yeah.
Which I'm not sure if maybe that's something that's, like, internalized within me or maybe it's, like, a scientific response, like a biological response, but like, yeah, even just being in like a space with like, I mean, even if I've never met before, like I do have these like preconceived notions that I like need to be initially wary of them. And I feel like that's something that I would like to work on myself, because as you guys have said, like it's not fair for us to like make these assumptions, because there are good men out there, and there are like, and I know that because I've experienced that with like my own family members and stuff like that. And so that was like where I found it affected me the most, was like, I had these like initial reactions to being in like male dominated spaces, being like, oh, I'm really insecure right now, or I'm really like a little bit nervous right now because there's so many men in here. And that's just like an internalized initial reaction where like, maybe that's something that I need to work on, that I need to change, you know?
Well, it also, you can't like grow and flourish in a stressed state as well. So it's not only like perhaps being unfair to the males in the room, but you're also...
It's unfair to yourself.
It's unfair to you as well, because if you're not comfortable in an environment, then you can't do your best in it, kind of thing, you
know? Absolutely, yeah, that's such a good point.
That resonated with me heavy. But at the same time, I think it's justified to feel this way. Mm. I think it's justified to be kind of on guard, because so many of us have experienced being feeling as belittled as we feel around men. So it just like, it goes both ways, where like it's our job to feel more confident in ourselves to but also there's a reason we feel this way. And, you know, awareness is the first step, so that, you know, we can like, ideally we wouldn't have any reason to feel anxious in a room of men. And even if there are good men, you know, it's like there's just so many bad experiences that it feels like a justified reaction.
Yeah, they definitely earn their reputation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We don't make this up.
No. No.
We're not trying to make this about us.
Yeah, yeah. It comes from somewhere.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Even the media. It comes from the media. From everything.
Well, that's like the biggest source for me is the media.
I just want to thank you guys so much for joining us on our episode today. To finish on such a fun little end topic, I want to ask you guys, what advice would you give your younger self?
I feel like we have kind of touched over this topic quite a few times, like throughout our conversation on this episode, but it's definitely like just to be aware of what media you're consuming, and just like make sure that you're mindful about what you kind of take to heart. And just educate yourself about social media and make sure that you're not like falling for the marketing schemes of like, you know, the wider corporations, and that's like my key thing. But then on like a sweeter note, I would also just say like, just remember to like live in the moment and be really present and just be really grateful for the opportunities. And even though like life as a woman can be difficult, I wouldn't change it for anything. And I am so grateful to be a woman and be part of like the womanhood that we've discussed. And yeah, I feel like that's the main message that I would give to myself. So
that's so beautiful. So sweet. The advice that I would give to my younger self is, I think, to be more unapologetically herself and to not please others just for their benefit. Stop the people pleasing tendencies. And I think don't be afraid to make mistakes, you know. That's how you learn, that's how you grow. And I think one of the most important ways to grow as a woman is through experience, and not being afraid to challenge the norm, challenge the status quo if you're unhappy with it.
I love that. Oh,
so cute.
I feel like mine's pretty similar. Like, the advice I'd give to my younger self is just finding pure happiness within yourself and really dive into those passions. Like, find something you're passionate about and really grow it, add water to it every day, keep feeding into it. And as you said, Izzy, like, if you've got a problem with it, fight for it. You've got a voice, use it. And I just think it's really important to actually just fill your own cup and make yourself so happy, because that's how you're going to thrive in the world. You're going to grow like a beautiful little flower.
Mine would be to not be so hard on yourself. I feel like maybe from the ages 12 to 18, I put so much of my worth on what I looked like and my appearance and whether what I looked like aligned with these beauty standards. And it honestly breaks my heart now. And like, I'll 100% admit, I still have to tell myself at least once a week in the mirror, like, what you look like is the least interesting thing about you. So that is some advice I'd give to my younger self, is to, you are so much more than what you look like.
I looked at my old avatars, depictions of myself as a kid, and they all looked like Taylor Swift, which I clearly look nothing like. Oh, you guys wouldn't know. But and this speaks to a larger problem of colorism in Asia, in the Philippines especially, where I grew up. Mm. A lot of my people have wanted to be white. And I think coming into a country, being in a rural white school, that kind of, in a way, worsened for me. So throughout puberty, you know, I was subconsciously so insecure and just thought less of myself because I didn't have these Eurocentric features. But now I really like how I look. Whenever I draw myself, I make sure to draw my features accurately. And I think it's good to celebrate diversity. And I would have just told my younger self to like her, because I look at my old videos and I was such a cute kid. Like, it's so sad to think about how mean I was to my younger self. And I hope that, especially like non-white young girls going through this experience, I hope that you look at yourself and become happy, like become more at peace with how you look, because you're beautiful as you are. You're such a cute kid. You're a beautiful teenager. You don't need to look better. Just overall be kinder to yourself. That's me.
That's so cute.
I really hope this episode has brought some interesting conversations to the table, and it was really nice getting to hear different perspectives on womanhood, because I think it's so important to know that there are different versions of it and understand that we all have our own identity and how we want to represent ourselves. And I really hope anyone that is listening to this realizes that their own identity is very important and they can decide what their own version of womanhood is. So thank you so much, Izzy and Molly, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, that's so cute.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.